Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Once again, Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by Heaps Normal, delicious, independent, non-alcoholic beer. The only one worth giving a go. Don't fall into the trap of having a rival brand. They're terrible. And as we're already in July, some of you are having a break off the booze. Well, Heaps Normal is not only a great way to help you with that, but this July, if you pop over to heapsnormal.com, they're running a campaign about just doing your best. Can't ask for more than that. Head to Heaps Normal's digital HQ and share a short story about a time when you did your best. You can win a custom jet ski. That's right, 1995's most popular jet ski, the Sea-Doo SPX 1000. Holy shit. Go do your shopping on it. Car, piss off. Provided you live somewhere like the mosquito breeding ground of tranquil Chevron Island canals, you can go anywhere where there's water. Install some stunt pegs on the back for the school run. Start a delivery business. Whatever. World's pretty much yours if you pull this off. 50 measly words. Get into it. On top of that, you'll get $3,327 in cold, hard cash. All this could be yours merely by sharing a story about how you did your best. I'll share one right now. I did my best at turning up to work this week. Someone didn't. Couldn't be bothered. That'll be covered in a minute. And as normal, insert duty free as a promo code at checkout and receive a free shipping in Australia. Do your best. Anyone has a problem with that, they can rack off. Heaps Normal. Get in.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Dock
at LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the...
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and this is what happens when they do. I'm Luke Heggie, and I'm flying solo. Why? Glad you asked. Nicholas J. Cody is indisposed. And by that I mean he's literally a couple of kilometres from where I am right now. I'm at the beautiful Gold Coast in Queensland, home of NRG juice, as well as a lot of meth. Cody, of course, is on a well-earned holiday. Good quality Melbourne morning radio is obviously taking a holiday as well. When I say he's busy, I mean it. I went to Coolangatta Sands a couple of days ago. He was sitting at a large table he'd booked by himself in a sea of other like-minded philosophers, watching a parade of grown men in tight shorts belting the shit out of each other on a big TV screen. I'd never seen it, but from what I observed that day in the slow-motion shots, these men will not ever be clogging up the aged care system. Yuck. Although the last one appeared to be a couple of blokes who just couldn't decide if they wanted to have a kick or a cuddle. And then one of them won. In flight news this week, an American man, about 60 years old, was sitting on a plane waiting to take off, and he'd discovered AirDrop on his phone. He sent everybody a picture of his beef clarinet. Who doesn't just keep one or two of those handy? I don't know. Some of the recipients didn't like it, and he got dobbed on by a TikToker, no less. Thank goodness for them. Escorted off the plane, even after apologising. And he's being charged as we speak. So turn off your phone when you get on the plane like you're asked, and this sort of thing won't happen. I mean, might be a stretch to blame victims receiving a dick on their phone, but also we had to protect the children. It's like our children receiving that. Don't give your children phones. While I'm here too, got a pretty nifty Zoom background going underappreciated right now. I'll just have to tell you about it myself. I'm, of course, outside Century 21 in Turinga, Queensland, right near my mum's place. Also happens to be the workplace of one Gerard Baden Clay, former workplace, rather. Now he's making number plates. Caterpillar attack survivor, Gerard. We've talked of him before. Absolute grub of a man, the Brookfield Strangler. Get into him. Also, while I'm here, before we get started, I won't go on too long, fucking boring, just on your own. In live show news, show in Launceston next week, sold out. But stay tuned because some weaklings may fall ill in the last second, freeing up their tickets to be scalped to help them through the tough times ahead. Still tickets left for the Hobart show, July 15, and also for the live stand-up shows in both Launceston and Hobart, featuring NJ Cody, myself, and a few others. Live stand-up comedy, somehow less popular now than watching a primarily audio format form of entertainment being completed on a stage somewhere instead of in a studio. That's where we've arrived as a species. Congratulations, everyone. We will have some of our Air Jaden T-shirts available, as well as some limited edition Larrikin Island T-shirts. Stocks are low. We'll place an order for some more Jadens. A couple of sizes are gone. Hoping to get them next week. Who knows? As for other live stand-up happening, I'm going to be in Melbourne, home of the arts, for the Replay Festival, July 13 and 14, one of which is State of Origin 3 night, state against state, mate against mate, Decider. So I'll be taping it and going somewhere to watch it later. So if you're there on the Wednesday night for some reason, don't even talk to me after the show. As well as this, very weekend at Hotter, home of the arts, at the Gold Coast, this Saturday, July 9 at 5:30 p.m. for a postponed show from a couple of weeks ago when my plane got cancelled. 5:30 p.m. wasn't my original choice, but matinee session, people go to bed really early here, so might pick up a couple of wrinklies. Besides Tasmania, I don't think Cody has many big shows planned, but stay tuned to nickcody.com.au. He's always around in Melbourne doing stand-up. For now, though, he's having a break, as I am soon to do. He's probably too busy holidaying right now, but if you are listening, mate, enjoy yourself. You deserve it. Clearly, I fucking don't. I'm sitting inside in front of a microphone. Although, having said that, I am off to France very soon, and the time difference may make it so the 1 or 2 hour window Cody provides me with each week where he's available to swan in and start randomly pressing buttons and asking Conrad to fix his fuck-ups and then frequently cancelling or postponing on very short notice may be difficult to coordinate. We'll see. We may be submitting separate intros. I don't know. But that's a couple of weeks away. I haven't thought that far ahead. In the meantime, here's the episode we recorded a week or so ago when I was in Melbourne. Enjoy.
All right. This week, buddy, we're looking at Flight 650.
Oh.
Fargo.
Jesus.
North Dakota to Minneapolis, March 8, 1990.
Fargo.
Man.
Fargo. What a true coat.
What yeah. a town. Northwest.
You reckon they're wrapped with the movie and the shows?
They've probably never seen it.
I wouldn't know.
Man, I loved it. I thought the series was superb. I watched the first one or two series. It was really good. The movie was fantastic too. So I don't know, man. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Should be. Should be proud. Northwest Airlines, that's got to have about the longest rap sheet I've ever seen.
Really?
For incidents and accidents. And I haven't, obviously, I've not seen every airline.
Of course, but I think what, I don't reckon they'd have the longest rap sheet overall. They might have the longest rap sheet for a first world country. That where they have to actually report these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, well, they don't appear on rap sheets. Those ones where just 30 people per week go missing on a plane. It's been around since 1926, though, but Jesus Christ.
I thought it's gone now, isn't it? I think it got merged. Did it?
Did it?
I reckon Northwest is merged.
Oh, right. Well, I should have looked at that, but I didn't. I'll be very surprised if any of them have an incidents and accidents page on Wiki as long
absorbed,
as Northwest.
Absorbed into Delta.
Ah. Right. When was that? Recently?
Yeah.
Not last 10 years.
Approved 2008.
Right.
Oh, they got them. They got them in the global financial crisis.
Oh, that's how you do it.
Snuck in.
Christ eternity. They've had to separate fatal and non-fatal. That's how many there are.
Jesus.
On the fucking Wiki wow. page.
Not broken down by season
no.
or month.
well, fuck. Some of them like in the same month.
Yep.
We're not going to go through all of them, obviously, but some interesting ones. 1971, who chose Northwest for his hijacking on a Portland-Seattle flight?
Oh, is that the
hijacker?
The hijacker that fuck. We did an episode on him.
No, we didn't.
Oh,
but we talked about him.
We didn't do an ep. No, we spoke about him.
DB Cooper. Yeah, that's the airline he chose for his hijacking.
Yeah,
Portland,
nice.
Seattle. Very short flight that.
Very short. It's only a couple of hours drive.
In 1990, Miami to Minneapolis, a 727, a Northwest 727, had one of its three engines just fall off.
Yeah. Already not a fan of that.
Well, they didn't just know.
Even amounts. Oh, sort of Rex Airline style.
25 minutes. They didn't even know. But then they did know, and they landed safely in Tampa. Good result.
Wow. Hold on. That was going Miami to Minneapolis. So they turned around and landed it back in Florida.
Yeah.
The Rex Airline flight, the one just got dropped over.
Yeah, that's right.
Just a propeller fell off.
Did it fall into kindergarten or something?
No. Just wasn't
there was there a Qantas engine or something fell off into a kindergarten?
Oh, shit. Still killed no one. They are on a streak.
They're riding the lightning.
Fucking oath they are.
Fuck. Their aircraft are as old as the crew.
Mm.
And there's some stuff's going to fall off them pretty fucking soon.
Your favourite bloke, Alan Joyce.
They are. I've been flying a lot lately.
Yeah.
Qantas, the worst.
Yeah. Like, and hated.
Not even on the plane. It's just like text message, your plane's cancelled. Oh, thanks. It's 6 hours later. Is it? I'm not going to make my gig. Yeah. Thanks, though. I'll sort something else out. Thanks for the text.
You know, it hasn't let you down. Murray's bus.
They've never, not once. No. They always go. Always there. Hard to get more than 5 hours on one, though. Well, you haven't got time. I can't remember if we've talked about this one before. Maybe some nerd will tell us if we have, but definitely we've talked about the concept. Chicago to Seattle, October 30, 1941, Northwest, Douglas DC-3.
Yeah.
On the Minneapolis Fargo leg, no less. There's a lot of legs back then. Today's exact route in reverse.
Yeah.
Makes you think. They had too much ice on the wings.
Never good.
Crashed into an open field.
Should have landed that.
Couple of miles short of Fargo.
Oh.
Nearly there. In Moorhead, in fact, which we'll hear about in a little while, coincidentally, just over the border. 14 of the 15 on board became Jesus's breakfast that day. Thanks very much, God, but I want a health kick. Make mine brown bread. Like a castle, like a sunset, like a comet, like the lost. All right. Just one.
They're not going to let me play a whole one.
Just one of them. Jesus said, look, I'll even appear on some lunatic's toast on earth for a good measure from time to time, but these guys, brown bread. The pilot, Clarence Bates, survived the crash.
The one survivor?
The one survivor out of 15.
Yeah.
14 deady bones. Clarence Bates survived. He was thrown clear.
Oh, look, no seatbelt.
We said this before and we'll say it again. Like, your plane's getting flung towards earth. There's a fair bit of mustard on it coming in hot.
Yeah.
Take your seatbelt off.
Yeah.
Just like you would driving down an icy cliff top road.
Prone position for cowards. Put your arms by your side and your head towards a window.
Nah, that's just making it over quickly. Didn't they do that on something like Mythbusters or something?
Oh, really?
Like, this is a way to make everyone die so they don't have to pay any compo. They got little daggers in the backs of every seat. Just under the fucking little cushion there.
That's why they want you to
put your head there. Whoops,
they want you to hang your iPad and shit up there now.
Yeah.
Please just stick all that there. Yeah.
Smash glass will finish you off. Man, the seatbelt thing. I was in New Zealand for a while, right? I did a season in a ski, like a national park ski joint.
Yeah.
And I was on night shift and we had to drive down the road. It's like an 18K road. Some nights, it was so much snow that the dude on the snow plow would plow the road and I would snowboard in front of him.
Oh.
With a fucking wave of snow behind me. It was sick for 18Ks. It was amazing. I thought, if I fall off, I'm dead, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But we'd have to drive a car down if it wasn't too much snow and just check the road because it had to stay open all the time. We could shut a gate if we deemed it was too unsafe, but you had to drive down the road. First night I was there, the big bloke, the boss, big fella, he got in the car. And we're driving this like a fucking high ace down the thing. He's going fast.
Mm.
I go, Jesus, this is quite dangerous. He goes, oh, I'll tell you what, it gets icy sometimes. If you look across and I'm not in the car, get out. I said, oh, really? Is that like he's driving?
Jesus.
He said, if we start to go south here and you look across and I'm not in the car, just get out. It's like, man, just pull over. I'm getting out now. What do you mean?
Just gonna be a roll
passenger.
Out.
Yeah, I'll be a passenger in a car with no driver on an icy road. I'll just sit there. Of course I'm getting out.
Get out.
Never get in a car with you again.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, Clarence survived, the pilot. Yeah. 1 year later, Clarence was test flying a consolidated bomber B-24.
No, I wouldn't be doing that. If I survived, if I was the only survivor on a plane crash, I'm not testing any planes.
A new plane.
Yeah.
Well, he did. And immediately he became reunited with his passengers.
Oh, no. See, I wasn't wrong. Like a comet. Come up short there, like that first flight.
Good. Shorten them up. You don't even have to bother touching that button twice. Anyway, our event today, three men were in Fargo, ND, North Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Three men's names were Lyle Pruse, Joseph Balzar, and Robert Kirshner. It was Wednesday. So, naturally.
Hump day, as you always text me.
Well, they went down to Speakeasy Lounge, Moorhead, right. Minnesota, just over the border from Fargo. Your favourite. A speakeasy. No sense.
An advertised.
Absolutely
speakeasy.
No sense. Yeah. Oh.
I tried that for so long. I don't think enough people here heard a bit about that.
I know. It's great.
About an advertised speakeasy.
Yeah.
Missing the whole fucking point.
It'll get there. We're probably 20 years behind the resurgence of the actual illegal speakeasy here. Makes no sense.
Oh,
this
would have
one,
happened.
Though,
I reckon they happened during COVID. I reckon speakeasies. We missed them. Yeah, there would have definitely been pubs and bars that would have just opened up, let people in. Oh,
I think there's so many fucking dobbers here. I heard about like a four-pack of 70-year-old Greeks getting dobbed on for playing cards out in Western Sydney in the first COVID fantasy lockdown.
Well, also, it's like the one over in Perth. They had there was a lockdown and they still put a 21st birthday party or something on. Some bar got them all snuck in. Shut all the curtains. Of course, it's a 21st. Fuckheads with their phones out. We're at a fucking party, man. Put the phones away.
Yeah. Phones. Phones are the downfall of most crimes now. It's such a – cops are doing less than they ever did because of other people dogging themselves in with phones, the fuckheads.
Just get on TikTok. Find your next defendant.
This particular speakeasy, though, and you'll be impressed with this, great Italian and American cuisine. Not as far apart as fish and chips and curry, but still cause for alarm.
Fucking oath.
For me. I had a squeeze at the menu.
Yeah. Need a fucking moonshine and a chicken parm. Not the right combo.
Oh, this menu at this speakeasy, it's just called Speakeasy. It's a fucking Moorhead, Minnesota speakeasy lounge. The deep fry is getting a good old workout here. Just like they did in the 1920s, rum era. Fried cheddar cheese balls.
Beautiful.
or fried eggplant chips.
Did you ever have the? Did you ever go that part of the world, like Wisconsin, just nearby? The cheese. What are they called? Cheese curds.
No.
Ever had cheese curds? Fuck, great, real good.
It's a lump of cheese.
Yeah. No, it's. I forget how cheese curds are made. Might be the fat. Or, I don't know.
Well,
they're bloody great.
It's the worst part. But I. Yeah. Anyway, fuck. I don't know.
First, but
I don't
not
travel
last
anywhere
time.
In America to get the particular localized cuisine. There is none. I've eaten cheese before and some really good stuff, and that's not it.
They don't fry it in your hometown, Paris.
No. You can get all that followed by a pizza pie because they get confused when you just say pizza there.
Mamma mia.
Funnily enough, they make it thicker than bread, hence the pie option. Because big is better, more is better than less in every circumstance.
Well, that big
fucking joint.
That Chicago style deep dish where it's almost like a soup.
Yeah.
It's almost like a soup with a pie crust.
Yeah, I know. It's no good.
Still have it.
Just make a fucking good pizza. On the plus side, Speakeasy Lounge, they have a what flavoured pizza?
Hold on. What dollar amount or would you get me one? It just helps me with the guess.
Oh, okay. I'll give you the $50 I owe you from the Tumut people straight after this.
Should be giving me that anyway. But
I will.
Well, hold on.
I'll give you that
flavor.
I'll double it.
So it's a flavor. It's not an ingredient.
Mm.
It's a flavor.
Yeah. Kind of both, but yeah.
Oh, I was going to say like something ridiculous, like a fucking Mountain Dew or something.
Nah, sucked in. Cheeseburger pizza.
Fuck. Sounds good.
You get your nifty for the Tumut people, but not now.
Listen to the live Canberra app if you don't know what the fuck we're talking about from March this year.
Well, a dude gave me 50 cash last week to give to Cody. Forgot to give it to him. Giving it to him tonight. They also have on the sides menu broccoli.
Oh, yeah.
But don't panic because it's got melted cheese on top.
Oh, thank fuck.
So no American has to be exposed to the hideousness of green vegetables. Yuck.
When I worked at the summer camp in Oregon, the salad had come out. You go, is it? I don't know if it is one. I'm like, guys, we've got some greens. Well, maybe under this sauce.
Is that Monterey Jack? Is that fucking radioactive coloured cheese you got on everything?
Government cheese.
Goodness. The American section of the menu is a little like.
I thought we'd already covered it.
No, it's the Italian.
The fucking cheeseburger pizza.
That's Italian, you fuckhead. Do you know anything? Welcome to the world, Nick. American section, it's a bit like when an Aussie Chinese restaurant has an Australian menu at the back for the kind of bloke who orders steak and eggs at a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
I see it a bit in Queensland. Anyway, and this
I've got to have a guess at this. Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, it's just steaks. It's just fucking steaks and schnitzels and shit. Yeah, it's just great. Shit. Anyway, and this is where Speakeasy are culpable here. Whoopi Wednesday started.
Oh, jeez.
And
what are they on, fucking commercial radio?
Pretty much. That whole joint is just a commercial radio. The bill from the three lads' consumption at Speakeasy totaled $54.61 US dollars.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, this is fucking unbelievable value.
Yeah, of course, because you're talking the Midwest. They've drunk the joint dry.
Oh.
They've had 8 cheeseburger pizzas.
Phenomenal.
They've tipped $30.
Well,
I'm getting a dinger.
I've got the pill.
Here we go.
Onion rings. Chicken wings. A serve of fried eggplant chips, all of which are still on the menu, along with 6 pitchers of beer.
6 jugs, fuck.
And 14 rum and diet cokes.
Hold on. Some conflicting orders there.
Man.
There's the old hack bit about the eat all the shit and then get a Diet Coke at the end.
Yeah. Even for 1990, that is fucking not bad good size value.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. $54 for that.
Yeah.
That is.
This is what's going to get you to Bali and Vegas.
No, it's not.
Cheap shit.
No, I'm just.
Value.
I don't care about the cheap. I wouldn't eat that.
Mm.
I wouldn't have all that.
But you could.
I'd spend $54 here on a night out and have a nice small meal.
Yeah.
And 2 beers, and that'll do.
Wow.
These guys, fucking hell, man. One of the boys.
That's what I mean, though. Everyone talks about, hey, there's no healthcare. But if you're getting that much for $54, just fucking buy healthcare. What are you doing?
Pretty much. You'll fucking need it. You'll definitely need it after all that. One of the boys, Kirshner, paid with
his. Also, it is the problem there, of course. I'm fucking around, but the minimum wage is so low, so it's all based on tips and whatever. But because that's the thing, when Aussies try to do the same, they try and set up that American bar feel, you know. And it's like, g'day, mate. Four buds, thanks. You know, whereas that's $38.
Yeah.
I'll get six wings. That's another $24. Yeah. You know, well, it's really taken the dive bar experience away from me.
Oh, for sure. Not in that shirt, mate. Well, you're not getting into this dive bar with those shoes. Fuck off. I'm going to bash you. That sort of thing. Dive bars ain't what they used to be. Kirshner paid with his American Express card, the idiot. But there was a report that five more drinks were purchased for the lads.
Yeah.
Balzer and Kirshner, they left about 10:35, 10:45. Proust said, don't worry, lads, I'm going to drink on for a bit. You go home. I'll stay here by myself. At 11:30, he got cut off, even though it was Whoopi Wednesday. Go figure.
And it's a fucking speakeasy.
Mm.
Let me do illegal shit. You are.
Yeah. You could see the yellow and black sign of the Days Inn, where all three were staying, from the driveway of the speakeasy.
Wow.
So on top of the speakeasy, having a big sign out the front saying, speakeasy, illegal alcohol sold here, they had a massive driveway and car park.
That's right.
Couldn't draw more attention to your illegal speakeasy operation, really, could you?
One of those buzzing neon American, one of those signs, speakeasy. Probably the big clang, clang above the cowboy doors.
You should definitely speakeasy heaps of piss here. Plus, you should drive here and then drink heaps of speakeasy and then go home in your car. That'll fool them. Lyle went outside and the speakeasy staff probably had a knockoff Sam Booker and Bailey's or something. 20 minutes later, Lyle's arrived back there, stumbled back in and said, look, I can't find the Days Inn. Where is it?
Oh, shit.
That's the level of mag they're looking at. They're like, it's there, fuckhead. Literally a block there. The other big sign.
All those rum and Diet Cokes have got to him.
Yeah, fuck. He was the rum and Diet Coke man.
Yeah. Bruce. How many did he have?
14 there, and there was a report that five more were bought. So yeah. I reckon about 18 for him.
Yeah, great.
Come Thursday morning, there's a flight leaving Fargo bound for Minneapolis. 1 hour, 10 minute flight, leaving at 6 a.m. sharp.
Oh, I can taste how his mouth would feel.
Oh, man.
That morning, you don't want to be.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you can't see your hotel on the street that you're currently
at 11:30
and people are pointing at it.
You're not going great at 6, are you?
Yeah, you've got to get up for a 5 o'clock flight or a 6 o'clock flight, be there at 5.
Yeah.
You're getting up at 4:15. No one needs that.
Verl Addison, an inspector in the small Fargo FAA office at 5:45 a.m., was talking to the captain and co-pilot of the plane when he noticed that they had bloodshot eyes and booze breath. It was Proust and Kirshner, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pilot and co-pilot.
Oh, fuck yeah.
They're supposed to be there at 5:15. They're there at 5:45, 15 minutes before flight time. No sign of Balzer. Proust said to Kirshner, can you call maintenance? I can't get a test pattern on my radar. Inspector Verl Addison said, it's right there, right in front of your face. And He's cancelled the maintenance call. The inspector left the cockpit of the 727 and called his superiors because he was sus.
Mm.
While he was out, Balzer arrived and said, I'll take a test if you want. I'm fine. Addison didn't take him up on the offer because he was young and green.
And by the way, the American test appears to be
Yeah.
A lot easier than ours.
Well, because it's practical.
Yeah.
Not actual.
Yeah. Touch your nose with your index finger, stand on one leg.
And have
yeah.
dance.
They got to fucking get us with science.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, sometimes over there they do. Addison walked over to a payphone, at which point the lads have just slammed the door shut and took off. Mid-flight, they were told via radio that they would be met at the gate in Minnesota by an FAA and Northwest officials.
Why? They landed it. They're fine.
Well, I like the cut of your jib.
Yeah.
They were. And they were placed under citizen's arrest, at which point, and I don't like to dispense advice, you know this, too often, but like fucking if someone says to me that I'm under citizen's arrest, I'd say, what arrest? Rack off.
Yeah.
And then I'd run.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. That's it. The only arrests that need to be respected are actual and cardiac. Someone says you're under citizen's arrest, tip from the top, fuck off.
Yeah.
Punch, what it, do whatever you want to get away and fucking run.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have to deal with that.
You're under citizen's arrest. It's like, well, there hasn't even been a fight yet. Yeah. So I might be under actual arrest for your homicide in a sec.
Yeah, dumb thing to say to someone. What if?
Yeah.
If you perform a citizen's arrest and use the term citizen's arrest.
Yeah. You've got to say it after.
No good.
After you've held them down.
Oh, when you're in the news later.
No, but yeah.
You wouldn't say it.
Oh, no. You don't have to
say it. You don't, never say it. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing to do. The airline was tipped off that the boys were maggot, but they didn't know anything about it until after the plane was in the air. They weren't breathalyzed until 2 hours after landing. That's what we're looking at.
Give them time. Give them time to shake off those rums.
Well, flight landed safely in Minneapolis. All's well that ends well, as you said. Who cares?
Crack the window open a bit. Mate, it's going to get chilly in here, but I've got to wake up.
Yeah.
bit of 30,000 foot altitude fresh air. Pop my head out.
Yeah. Just hold a Barocca in front of the window and put your mouth open, see what happens. The only reason they were in the shit was because of an anonymous tip-off on the telephone to the night shift inspector, Vern Addison.
Wow.
He wouldn't have said a thing if he didn't get the tip. He would have just, like, he's saying, yeah, I noticed they were a bit bloodshot-eyed. He didn't. Yep. He got a tip earlier. Dob was at it again.
You reckon it was the pub?
Well.
Is it the speakeasy? Not living up to their name again.
I mean, Vern caught a dose of the Dobbs himself and dobbed on him. But, well, we're just left to speculate how Vern was originally made aware, which is what made him look for the telltale signs of a boozy night. Perhaps one of them just wanted to get caught and placed the call himself. Or maybe the lads were loose-lipped at the speakeasy. Is the speakeasy after all? If you can't speak freely there, where can you? Tried to pick up some college chicks by saying they are fly boys. One of them has decided the boys were not charming enough, a bit ugly, and dobbed them in for being ugly. Sorry, blattered. And, fuck, I tell you what, speaking of free speech, did you see...
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
let's write this down. You know Joe Lycett,
comedian?
Did you see his... there was an article in The Guardian.
Oh, so he had UK, cops turn up over a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fucking time. That's incredible. I read that. Someone sent me that and said, have a look at this. I was like, no, it's got to be a joke. No. Someone's offended enough one of his jokes in a live show to call the cops.
Yeah.
And the cops came round. They didn't say, fuck off, idiot. They came round and said, explain your joke.
Yeah.
Not like explain your joke, otherwise you're under arrest. Like they're probably pretty cool about it, but still.
But do they have to do that?
Does it?
Well, you can't just tell the person that made the complaint to fuck off anymore.
Why can't they?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, if there's a complaint about something you've said,
yeah,
honestly, do the cops have to turn up?
Yeah.
That's an incredible concept. I would tell the cops to go fuck themselves. Like, no offense, lads, but go fuck yourselves. I'm not telling you about my joke.
Yeah.
Come to my show if you want. Don't care. Make up your own mind. But I'm not answering to anyone about it. That's appalling. That's an amazing thing that's... Like, it's good publicity for him. Like, it's great and good on Joe for getting what he can out of it, and so he should. I'm sure he's a fucking great comedian. And
should ripper.
But
I think there was in the UK where there was a comedy club doing an online show. So they sold tickets.
Yeah.
But people were just performing in their houses, I believe.
Yeah.
And the cops stormed the club thinking people were in there because they got the tip that this club was doing a show, but the club was doing an online show.
Right. And there's like one sound tech there or something.
I don't think maybe anyone was in there, yeah.
Very good.
Just all online.
Oh. Man, according to an affidavit in this case, the boys, the three lads, were visibly maggot. And at one stage, Pruce, the captain, fell out of his metal chair.
Fuck yeah.
And he, the other two couldn't walk properly.
No need for the breatho.
Oh, they got breatho. And they all pleaded not guilty in Minneapolis and then had to appear in North Dakota to misdemeanor charges. A different story at the jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
Lyle Pruce, the oldest of the three at 52 odd, testified that he drank up to 20 rum and Diet Cokes. 20.
Mm.
Fuck.
Good effort.
So
and that's American pause.
Yeah.
That could be 45 Aussie rum and Diet Cokes.
Absolutely. Whoever bought in the final.
Or as you call it, state of origin.
Whoever bought him the final six should be held accountable, really. He'd had 14. Probably be fine. 20, too much for a pilot.
Yeah.
Over there.
14, the pilot's dozen.
Jurors deliberated for 9 hours of free food and coffee and shit. Eventually.
I think I told it on the episode early days about Virgin. When Virgin was going under, I was in Hong Kong doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival roadshow.
Here he is.
And I was out at their like party district in Hong Kong.
Well, yeah.
Just at a bar, just absolutely maggot chatting to this bloke. He gave me a dart and he said, "What are you doing here?" He was an Aussie guy. And I said, "Comedy, Melbourne Comedy Festival show, blah, blah, blah."
It's probably my brother.
He goes, "What are you?" You know, and I asked him, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm a pilot for Virgin." And I said, "Fuck off, man. I just flew here Virgin yesterday." He's like, "I was the pilot." Okay, when do you have to go back? He's like, "Not for a couple of days." I'm going, "Oh, thank fuck.
Couple of days."
He was semen. I was the pilot.
Eventually, all three were convicted of one count each of operating a common carrier while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The defense concentrated on the fact that the flight was very smooth. So no harm, no foul. That was rejected.
That is, you know, a lot of people hate defense lawyers and rightly so for some of the people they try and look after. That's a rough day though.
Yeah.
When the three blokes turn up and go, "Yeah, we'll mag it." They knew we were maggot. We got breathoed. Maggot. We flew a plane. Maggot.
You got nothing left except the all's well that ends well defense. And a lot of instances, this fucking works out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know when this comes out. This has come out much the same time as the Salim Mahaja, Land Larrikin's Patreon-only episode. Get on it, everyone. And he got no punishment for rigging an election that he lost. Same principle.
Yeah, wow.
So fucking, who cares? You lost your fuckhead.
Nothing happened.
Still did something wrong. Whatever.
It's like gambling on yourself in sports. And you lose. Oh, well.
Are you not, you're not allowed to gamble on yourself?
No.
Why not?
No, because you can pay other people to help you do what you want to do.
Well, you...
You can't gamble on the games in any way, shape or form.
Well, I don't know about that. I think gambling on yourself to win,
but also, why not? No, no, no.
If it's a two-horse race, you're in one of those fucking disgusting sports that you watch where it comes to just bashing each other in their dick togs.
Yeah.
Surely you can go, "Hey, everyone, I'm putting 10 grand on myself right now. I'm going to beat this guy."
Yeah, but then you may collude with the other bloke to go, "You go down and I'll pay you off."
But, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Where do you stop with
that? You're not grubby enough.
No, where do you stop with that?
Well, because just can't bet. You're not allowed to bet.
Well, don't have betting.
Why? Wreck it for the rest of us. I'm not a fucking professional athlete.
Doesn't wreck anything.
Let me have a punt.
The general consensus was, look, what if there was an emergency? What if? Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah.
Who cares? Turned out it was a customer at the speakeasy who had an argument with one of them and decided to report them to the FAA the next morning. Never, and I cannot stress this enough, never tell anyone your real job or you're having 20 rumbos at a speakeasy. Fucking don't say it. Just go.
You imagine the exact wording too. It'd be like, what are you going to fucking tell me? I'm fucking flying out of here tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm a pilot, you fucking dead shit. Oh, no. Got your name on you and your little badge.
Fuck, man. Like all of them, all of them got sacked and sent to the can. Round the grounds, Lyle Preuss served in NAM as a jet fighter pilot. Started flying for Northwest in 1968. Got done here, obviously, in 1990. Held little hope of ever flying again. He checked himself into an alcoholics program again, forgetting it was anonymous, as a lot of them do, straight after his arrest. First pilot ever to get done for DD.
Wow.
Not bad. Good size. He clocked in at 0.13 on the breathalyzer the next morning.
They caught someone recently, I reckon, a few months ago, but pre-flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just but that would have been a tip-off as well, because surely they're doing it. These aren't the only people to have ever flown pissed.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking happened. 0.13. But that is at, like, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
On, no, 9, 10 a.m. on a 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah.
He's fucking peaked probably about 4 a.m. He's coming
hold
down.
On. No, yeah, so 0.13.
0.13, yeah. Not 0.0, 0.05. 0.03 I think it is for pilots.
Wow.
Or even less. It's very little. You shouldn't have any, really. He put his hand up and said, yeah, I've done it. It's fair cop. 16 months in the clink, standard. Maximum 15 years. Not bad value.
Mm.
16 months. All things pointed to his life going downtown, but he got out, went on to fly again.
Fuck yeah.
For Northwest, no less.
Oh, jeez. Well, do the crime, do the time.
No, fucking after prison. I mean, he's got a website, this guy, where he flogs us his redemption story in book format.
Oh, I was hoping for fucking cool merch.
Not so cool. I reckon God might have gotten involved too.
Ah, of course.
I've got no proof. I've just got a feeling I get from his story.
Yeah.
And America.
Yeah. Why would you turn to God? You had 20 rumbo. Turn to more rum. Yeah, well, 20 rumbos and you flew a plane. You're fine.
He got sober.
Yeah.
And spent the rest of the next few years just staying sober and talking about it all the fucking time, despite the anonymous aspect of the thing. What's the name of his book, do you reckon? Two words.
Oh, I almost said flying high.
Getting close.
Flying drunk.
Nah. Final approach.
Oh, there we go.
Colon, tragedy and triumph.
Well, there was no tragedy.
Yeah, no.
There's a lie already.
Just for him. Soft cover comes in at $40.95 with international shipping.
I'll be right.
Both of his parents died from the booze.
Oh.
He's been sober since the incident. He fought to get reinstated with the FAA, and the president of Northwest was so into the redemption aspect that he personally reinstated the bastard, even though it garnered a lot of negative publicity.
They'd cheer for that on a plane over there, though. Hey, this is your captain, blah, blah, blah. You may remember I flew a plane drunk and I just got out of jail, and that'd be a big clap. Whereas here we'd go, oh, fuck off, mate.
No, I don't think so. I think America, I think forgiveness is not included in the Constitution over there. I think a lot of people wanted him dead, I'm sure, straight that day. Firing squad, bring it back. They're not into forgiveness. Fuck no. They say they are. I don't think they are at all. The judge who sent him off to the clink was the driving force behind petitioning to get him pardoned.
Oh, one of those ones.
Even though he'd never done it before. The judge had never done this before because Lyle was such a good bloke and did some work in the community with other people who might have turned to drunkenness, etc. It's a classic turnaround story. Lyle received a federal pardon in 2001 from saxophonist pants man Bill Clinton himself. Have that. Now he's devoted his life to helping others suffering from alcoholism. It's its own disease now rather than a catalyst for a bunch of other much worse side effects. Not a hobby, it's a disease.
It's a gateway disease.
He's an activist in various alcohol abuse programs and works with airlines and also the Native American community, bingo, in his area to warn people not to do what he did. Although, if you do, you can totally get out of it a few years later and have a job for life on the speaking circuit where you can shift some serious fucking units, sign copies of your book pretty easily. A fucking opportunity ching.
Also, I love his idea of like getting around telling people to not do what he did.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I couldn't fly a plane sober.
Mm.
It just sounds like you're bragging.
His mate, the co-pilot Kirshner, he clocked in at a paltry 0.06.
Ah, fine.
When he blew in the bag and the crystals turned green. Still got 12 months in the can.
Oh,
shouldn't have gone. He paid at the speakeasy.
Yeah.
Fucking mistake. Yeah. Go cash all the time.
Gentlemen. Oh, gentlemen prefer.
Gentlemen prefer cash. Can't state this enough. Balzar. This is the third guy.
Yeah.
Is he an engineer? They call it a flight engineer or the fucking third
guy? Yeah, just sitting
Just sitting there.
Sitting in that seat.
Just the fucking... the sacrificial anode if someone busts through the door. That's you. It'd be some muscly guy soon, just sitting there, don't know anything about instruments. I'm just going to hear in case someone bashes through the door, I can bash him. Balzar said, and this is a good one, he was getting banned from flying. They all lost their jobs. He said, it's kind of hard to keep a good pilot on the ground. That's kind of like asking Picasso if he were going to paint again. Even with that, he got 12 months in the can. probation included for all of them.
Imagine, after drinking it, getting maggot at a Minnesota speakeasy and turning up for work and comparing yourself to Picasso.
Yeah, pretty good. I'm that good as the third wheel, not even a pilot, that you will never stop me from flying again. Probation included for all of them, 1 year after a release, no flying or operating a plane, and 3 years with no passengers. Good luck getting a job, lads. Even though I said Lyle did put his hand up, they did all appeal the conviction in 1991. I read the details and finer points involved on Law Justia, which is usually a fucking excruciating read. But this one wasn't bad. Interestingly, they have tried it on a technicality, standard law shit over there. Do what you can, you know, try to get out of this. They quoted a 1986 precedent case where a man in Minneapolis was running nude through hotel hallways and he's yelling inside his room. The filth came to kick him out, searched his room, which was a breach of Fourth and 14th Amendment rights, found a shitload of cocaine that he was selling and skimming a bit off the top, not unlike you and your fucking T-shirt merch, I've noticed. In every photo, there you are, just fucking molesting the stock.
Mate,
took
one of each.
And
it's good business. You yell at mannequins, do you, at Meyer? Nah.
Oh, you reckon that's what's flogging the merch?
There's got to get it out there, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Subtle. Subliminal advertising.
This guy got off because they shouldn't have been in his apartment. That was wrongful. And this is what they were trying to say. Just like this guy, you shouldn't have fucking breathalyzed us because it was false pretenses.
Oh, wow.
Again,
you just go, shut up, lads.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, the cocaine guy, guess what his name was? United States versus?
Don't know.
The best ever American. United States versus? No.
Oh, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Better. Better than all of them. United States versus Rambo.
Let's do it. Woo!
This guy's name was Rambo.
Sick.
He got off. They got him on something else, though, obviously.
Just probably, the one name, like Madonna.
No, it wasn't Rambo. It was I can't remember. It wasn't John J. Rambo.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Rambo, but his name was Rambo. probably got him on Bash and Brian Dennehy and his cop mates a few years earlier. Found the Dobbers in the end. John and Les Stenison and Bill Fellows, locals, They're at the speakeasy for Whoopi Wednesday. Man, not to be really losing at those prices, you're fucking losing money staying at home.
Yeah.
The Senesons.
By the way, when a story starts with a Whoopi Wednesday,
oh,
for some reason I'm just picturing a bunch of women having one extra margarita going, oh, I don't know, I don't know. Someone's having 20 Rumbos and flying
fuck
a plane.
Yeah.
It really doesn't match up with Whoopi Wednesday.
20 Rumbos and six pitches and all that food at $54. wouldn't mind going to Fargo. You could probably.
That's what they should have.
Do you reckon
for their defence? Look at those prices, mate.
Oh,
how do you not?
It's Whoopi Wednesday's fault.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't pull that rather than the Rambo defence. I reckon you could get together, one of your mates style, and your future, probably taking people on tours, like the Nick Cody tour to wherever.
Yeah.
If you get to critical mass, like 1,000 people, it'd be cheaper for a meal, maybe 2,000 people, go to Whoopi Wednesday or somewhere like that and go, we'll all go there and we'll eat $50 worth of food each and get back. And this will be like a fucking, like what we would spend on a lobster luncheon in Melbourne. It'll cost all of you fuck all, honestly, to just get over. We could get a plane and hire it, get over there.
For that's one what we'll meal, be doing, come back. 1,000 Patreon subscribers when I take you to Bali.
We're not doing
We're bringing people.
No.
Gold Coast to Bali direct from March next year.
What people? We're not bringing the style of people who listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. No. I'm not going. Yeah, they were at the speakeasy, John and Les Senison and Bill Fellows. And the Senisons, they saw the lads getting a bit loud, as some do when they're drinking. They just talk louder. Their ears aren't working at full tilt. They joined the boys. And after finding out they were NWA pilots, and yes, that acronym has two meanings, Nick. They said, you fellas aren't flying the 6 a.m. tomorrow, are you?
Oh.
And the boys said, nah, not us.
Good.
Then Kirshner and Robert Picasso Balzar left at 10:30-ish. Lyle stayed back drinking with the Stenisons, at which time he said, yeah, it is us flying the 6 a.m. Loose lips in it. After he fell off his chair and refused help, he's walked out and come back to get directions straight down the road.
Like, yeah.
That's your hotel there, fuckhead. Lee Stenison decided to make an anonymous phone call to the FAA and said Lyle Sudo and his mates are flying piss tomorrow morning. Lee later forgot what anonymous meant as well, obviously. A bit of that going around. Picasso Balzar said he was late the next morning because he was up all night with the squirts.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here at 5:45 instead of 5:15. I'm here at 6:25, he got in, rather than 5:15. That was a porky pie.
Oh, of course. But with that menu, he may have been, you know.
Could have been.
Look at
the receipt. Could have just gone, look, broccoli's got fucking melted Monterey Jack on it. What am I going to do? Lyle argued that because he was an alcoholic, he had a higher tolerance.
I love that.
Blood alcohol.
No sidestepping there.
Blood alcohol volume is not a reliable indicator of determining whether or not someone like him is under the influence.
There we go. It's more like it. I respect that.
Well, he'd obviously prefer the dancing and nose-touching method of determining drunkenness they seem to do over there still.
And the numbers. The nerdy stats.
Fuck. A behavioural – well, you can't argue with practical science. A behavioural scientist, Herbert Moskowitz, said at the time that 0.03 can cause significant impairment. Fucking nerd. A pioneer was Herbert in the effects of drinking on driving.
Yeah.
Also,
fucking Herbert.
Oh.
Who's listening to Herbert for the sesh?
Scientist. He also dabbled.
Herbert's a loose cunt. Never been said.
No.
That's a one and only.
Do you want your 20th Rumbo, Herbert? Nah. I just said it for the first time ever.
One Rumbo for Herbert.
What
never
a
been
dork.
Said.
Not
fuck
one.
You. Fuck you, Herbert.
Herbert also dabbled in deriding pot for the same reason.
Ah.
Plenty of other Herbert Moskowitzes tried to find him, couldn't, but including one who works for Purdue Pharma.
Oh.
There's a Herbert Moskowitz, so there you go. But our Herbert died at 87 in 2012.
Good run, Herbert.
Either way.
So he's not Purdue Herb.
He wasn't Purdue Herb. Could have been, though, with his fucking credentials. Classic redemption story, though, for Lyle Prews. The others, don't know. Neither wrote a book about it, started public speaking, like you will one day with your keynote. So what have they done?
My little headset mic and PowerPoint. That brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Thanks for listening in. Again, live shows in Tassie coming up real soon. We'll see you there 15th and 16th of July. We're lining up some others as we speak as well, getting back up, back out there, I should say. Yeah, thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.
Cool, mate. Copy later. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.